Chicago, make some fucking noise! Yeah! This session of Harmontown is about to begin. First, let me bring out the wonderful Spencer Crittenden. You can be louder than that. Yeah! Tonight, in lieu of Jeff Davis, who we love so much, my name is Brandon Johnson. I will be your comptroller.
Industrial, Midwestern, deprived, depressed city. God bless the alcohol coursing through your arteries for generations that you can't even control. You Midwestern Visigoths. You are my people. I grew up 90 minutes from you. I'm afraid to go back to my hometown, so this is as close as we'll ever get. I don't know how they'd react to me if I ever went back to Milwaukee. I'm still scared. When I left, they said, "You'll be back." That's not a good goodbye. That's not something you say to people you love. I don't care how proud you are of your hometown. You don't say, "You'll be back," when someone says goodbye. They didn't say that to Frodo. They said, "I hope you save the world from Sauron."
Why are you looking at me when you say that? That's fucked up.
Spencer Crittenden, everybody. Chicago. The man who grew up in California but looks more at home here than anyone.
Oh, yeah. I was walking around and I was like, I'm the most comfortable person in this city right now.
Still rocking the cargo shorts today.
Yeah, like, man.
The weather was fine today.
It was great.
For a nice stroll. Yeah, it gets fucking cold in this area of the country. There is an oppressive spiritual thing that no one talks about. The idea that when you look up at the sky, you don't see God the way that you do in an equatorial climate. You see blue and yellow, and you feel like God's up there, and he's somehow in charge of what happens to you. It might be a good thing. It might be a bad thing. You might be part of some agricultural community where they play lacrosse and the winner loses their head.
Yeah, you do see guys named Jesus, but they're usually pissing outside.
Yeah. But when you're in the Midwest, it's like I've said it 1,000 times. You're descended from the genes of people who, like, they're descended from Plymouth Rock. Either landed on them or they landed on it.
They didn't cross the border. The border crossed them.
In any case, they headed west. Their wagon broke down. Admit it. And then they were like, "Fuck it." But that's not a non-heroic thing to say. It's because guess what? Like, well, what's waiting for you at the Pacific Ocean? Like, you're not like, well, we just got out there. I'm a Milwaukeean. I'm just saying the people on the West Coast, like, those are just the people that got that far. And then they're like, we have no more dreams to chase. Let's invent television. The Midwest is the gene pool that was like, you know what? What if it was just cold? What if God tried to kill you? What if 9 months of the year, God was unapologetic about his desire for you to die? What if everything you ate just, like, tried to poison you? What if every time you stepped outside, what if the weatherman had to tell you how many seconds it took for human skin to freeze? What if your car required not only a key to start, but a fucking chisel? And a heated blanket, and a schedule, a regimen. I remember working in Milwaukee, you'd have to go out, you'd have to schedule, it's like, you'd backtrack it, like, oh, I gotta be at the ground round at 8, so that means at 7, I gotta put a blanket on my car, I gotta start the car. It's like, I'm not made for this, I'm a ground round employee. And then the people that are coming in are gonna pay what they weigh.
Which in Milwaukee is a lot of fucking money.
So I'm going to be rich, I guess. Yeah, exactly. All right. Anyways, but I hope. Yeah, I got Midwestern chops. I'm not some hoity-toity. You Google me. Oh, what's Dan Harmon worth? There's that page that says 5 million. I don't know what the fuck that they're coming from. I don't know what that means. I'm not worth $5 million. I have a 5-bedroom house. Those bedrooms are not. We lost Brandon. Those bedrooms are not worth $1 million each. I've eked out a comfortable existence. I'm terrified right now. I feel like we're fighting a fascist empire. Whatever. Your politics are fine here. It's fine, Chicago. I don't care. I saw the map. I saw how red you were. It's okay. You're booing. You're saying blue. Okay, then you're fine here, too. It doesn't matter. There's a couple people in here that voted for Trump. They're doing a good job. They're being polite.
Chicago was, like, the only city that, like, went in and wrecked up the place when Trump was around, you know?
What does he mean? What are you talking about? What do you mean?
They came, like, he went and stumping around all these places, but in Chicago, they shut it down. He wouldn't come outside.
Oh, he wouldn't come out here. All right. Resist! Fine. As long as I know I'm safe, I'll say whatever. Let's burn it down! I just needed to know I was safe. I'm part of the spineless demographic. I just don't want people to beat me up. That's all. The reason why I'm part of the resistance now is that has nothing to do. The reason I became politically activated to the extent, with meaning that I tweet mean things now, it's because I'm lazy. Because all of a sudden it didn't. Now it's going to matter. I worked really hard to get my house. I don't want to have to stand in front of it and like swing a bat and go like, get away. Like it won't work. I don't know what I'm made of. So I bought a gun and I'm just sweating it out. I'm just sweating it out in my house. But anyways, it doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's about me. It's about me. But you expect a show. You want a show. You came to a Chicago.
Dan, I don't think they want a show. I can't hear them. Do they want a show? I can't hear it. Okay.
You guys think just because we came to Chicago, we're going to, like, improvise? Is that the idea? Because you're famous for improv? Please welcome improv maestro Jimmy Corain. And star of stage and screen, Scott Adsit. All right. Noted. All right.
I'm better than season 3.
Yeah.
Dan.
By the way, yeah, Rick and Morty started airing tonight, part of an elaborate, strange, misguided April Fool's prank. I don't really understand it. Rick and Morty, I can finally tell you, Rick and Morty season 3's premiere is airing on a loop. When you go home, you can watch it. You're not missing anything. It's a prank. Get it? I don't get it, but I couldn't tell you, and you fucking 15-year-olds kept riding me. I'd be like, Trump's an idiot. He's a fascist. We're gonna lose our civil liberties.
Yeah, well, you're gonna lose season 3 of Rick and Morty.
I'm not doing any. I'm finished. They're drawing it.
Yeah, prove it.
Exactly, sir. I mean, like, anyone was going to hear that. I mean, he could have said anything. Snail sew the Ricks out? You sound like a Star Wars character.
I liked him yelling out. I think that was helpful.
Well, what did he
but
say?
I didn't hear what you said. Would you come down here and say it into my mic?
Well, people will take that
He'll
invitation.
He'll be down here in 20 minutes.
Okay. We'll vamp until you get here.
All right. So you guys are improvisational professionals. See, people are cheering because now nine dudes are pretending to be him, and they're all there's going to be a line of people coming up. I was that guy. Sneak snog of bricks out.
I was that guy. Game fan for Slamble.
You guys all have an improv background.
Yeah.
Brandon Johnson, you did improv.
I did improv. I did not do improv as well as these two fucking gods
Bullshit.
We have on stage in front of you.
Wrong.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Wrong, though. Wrong.
Did you work with Brandon?
We improvised a few times, like in sets and stuff. We weren't of the same generation.
It's like
and I was your understudy, so you never missed a day of work.
But a lot of people might be coming because there's 900 people here. There's 900 people here. They may only be here because they know that I'm amazing. They, some of them, even though they're from Chicago, may not know what improv really is. They may think it's just, well, oh, that's when you don't have a script. Let's just, on a molecular level, we'll just show them for like what improv is on a fundamental level.
Okay.
So, I will. Let's tell a story in four lines of dialogue. I will enter with a line, then we have two more lines to do, and then Brandon, you come in with the fourth line.
Oh, great. Great.
So
no pressure. No pressure
so we'll
at all.
Who we are, what we're doing, and where we are now.
And we'll get as much information as we can because that's part of improv. It's like being positive and providing information, piping and things. Yes.
Okay.
So four lines. Here's how improv works. I would like to return this fur coat because it's too big.
But I'm a ghost. I can't run the cash register.
I am the manager, and I can help you, sir.
He said he wanted a 15-dog coat, so I made him a 15-dog coat.
All right.
That was really.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's the atomic structure of improv.
Like, yeah, I don't think we have to explain it. I think it's pretty self-explanatory there.
Right.
Don't you?
What its merits are.
I was the Steve Harvey
only
character.
Because we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Now I want to say, and then people go like, oh, so improv, like, oh, they compare it to like written comedy. So there's a laptop back here. This is going to be tough, and it's going to run the risk of making a bad show. Yeah, hold it. Okay, all right, yeah. So if we were to write that scene. There it is. The next day. Interior coat shop.
For a second, I thought that was the guy from upstairs, and I was like, get the fuck out of here! I'll kick you in your face, you look like Steve Bannon! All yeasty and shit. That dude has he's got some yeast shit on his face. That's the good thing about not liking that dude is we can talk shit on him, and nobody's gonna be like, don't be like that about Steve Bannon. Fucking brought Steve Bannon to the party, you guys. Be nice tonight. He's got on a diaper.
Oh, shit. It wants to save the... God damn it. Esports. Oh, the fucking bullshit. Some YouTube show we're doing. All right.
Tim Buck says the first thing that came up was the porn from last night on that laptop.
ghost coat, we'll call it.
There's a lot of mannequin-like porn on his computer.
Yeah. I can't operate.
How to make a ghost costume.
Register. And then the manager. What did you say, Jimmy? You said...
I was the manager.
I can help you.
Manager. I can help you.
And if you could do that in
And then Brandon disembodied...
I played a young Nigerian trying to find his way through the fur industry.
I sold him a coat. Whose mentor was Steve Harvey? $15. Okay, so we have a flawed story here that we created improvisationally. Like, where did it break down? I thought my line was awesome. Like, and then you introducing the fact that you're a ghost brought us across a threshold.
Right. I was introducing a mythology that we could explore.
Mm-hmm. I think, and then it starts to break down, ironically, with our improv masters, yeah. Jimmy Corain.
Well, Dan,
Jimmy Corain, who teaches improv, yeah. Was like, I'm a manager, I can help you. And then, but ironically, you couldn't.
No.
As an improv manager, you couldn't help anyone.
I couldn't, no, yeah.
And then,
although he could have made his line longer. You just said line.
No,
he
could have. Yeah. So let's try it again. Let's do a rewrite.
Okay.
That's not how improv works, Mayor Harmon.
Okay.
But I'm not going to change what I did because I nailed it.
Okay.
God damn it.
And I don't think Scott did very bad either. So.
Now I feel a lot of pressure. Can I just say before we do this, I'm feeling a lot of pressure. I'm in my head right now.
All right. I'm going to alter my line just a little bit. It may help you.
Okay. All right, you're going to set me up. Thank you, Scott.
And also, if you were more relaxed before, that may have been the problem.
Okay.
Cha-ding, ding! I'd like to return this coat. It doesn't fit me very well.
I'm a ghost, remember?
I'm a ghost, too. I'm the manager ghost. I think I'm catching on. Do you think? What do you think?
You're still in character? I can't respond if you
are. Okay, great. No. We'll talk later.
Why is that lady wearing a fur coat on the beach?
Whoa. Okay. I mean, that was interesting because that changed everything.
I just thought I'd try something different for this improv.
Right.
So the actors thought they knew where they were. But then the dialogue shows that we were actually on a beach with a door. Now, the interesting thing is the characters knew that. The actors didn't.
That's right. Like all good improv, alcoholism together, all rooted in denial. You say plane, I say boat.
So if we were to continue with that scene, so he's now revealed that we're on a beach with a door and that we have two ghosts, but I'm returning a coat that doesn't fit.
And you're a lady.
You promised me when I rubbed that seashell that if I wore your coat, you'd give me lightning power.
The lightning power has always been in you. The coat was just a catalyst to your realization. Use your power now.
I'm still the manager ghost. And with your power, you can kill me.
Wait a minute, Andy. When you get out of prison, you can help me work on the boat, Shawshank.
All right, well, okay. So, all right. So there's a... Yeah,
I like that one.
So what we're learning about improv is that it's different from writing. Like, if you held it to the same standards, it wouldn't hold up. Like, a lot of people watch, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And they go, like, well, why don't you just write that stuff? And then... But then you go, like, no, they're making it up. You go to an improv show in Chicago, like a long form improv show by really talented, like long form improv people, and you could witness something that could never be written. It could never be written. Jimmy, what is that phenomenon? What is that magic?
Well, I think it's because each show was always different every night. Sometimes they're going to fail, and sometimes they're going to succeed. It's really like a sporting event. That's what makes it so fun to watch. What do you think, Scott?
I hate sports metaphors.
Okay.
especially in relation to art. But I'll say that the difference, I think, is that when something's written and people know it's written, then they have a higher expectation for it being crafted and satisfying. And in improv, survival is a win.
And,
you know,
and
people in the audience know that, and they know that that everyone's on a tightrope, and if they land gracefully, then that's a success.
And right? The highest compliment you can get in an improv show is people will come and say, I are you sure that wasn't scripted? You know, that's like the highest compliment you can get.
But that would mean that you did so good at improv that it was just slightly less, like, good than something that was... Right?
Well,
yeah.
There are terrible sketches.
There should be something... The people should be coming up to you and saying, I know for sure that wasn't written, but it was better than anything that could have been written.
We both heard that.
Yeah.
Right.
Who are these people you get into a fight with, Dan?
But we're just saying, like, the audience, they're dumb. They don't have the vocabulary. They're just like, oh, that seemed like written it. And it's like, okay, yeah, give me your $10. Okay.
You're very cynical about improv.
No, I'm cynical about America.
Okay. I'm sorry, I confused it.
Spencer, where does it... So when you're a dungeon master, where does this come in? Because you're improvising as a narrator, and then people are looking at a sheet of paper, and they're saying, well, then because of this sheet of paper, which isn't a script, but it is a bunch of facts, I do this. And then, like... Talk. Say some stuff. Oh.
It is like writing and improv.
So what if...
You
couldn't write
it's
that.
It's so easy. It's so easy with these guys.
So what if we were to say, okay, Jimmy Corrine, improv extraordinaire, would be your dice because you don't have any... We don't have a campaign. So then could you dungeon master... an improvised campaign for me and Scott and Brandon to be in a little campaign, and then Jimmy is like the dice. Could Jimmy improvise results?
So many clues.
Yeah, I don't. Can you improvise results? Does that sound fun to you? Whatever anyone wants. Yes.
It's kind of like if Jimmy was human dice, like if you just anytime we wanted to do something, Spencer would look at you and then you would represent a random result, and then Spencer would read it and then explain to us what we had accomplished.
Now, to connect the dots, backstage, me and Dan were thinking that a true improv master would be able to improvise perfectly the random results as if from a die. That's
almost
part of this conceit.
Almost like a magician.
Right.
Do you mean that the... Yeah, what do you...
No, I'm just... You said that.
Do you mean like... Do you mean like Jimmy would say 3 and 8, or do you mean like Jimmy would be like, you hit and you get a critical hit?
Let's ask the person who said that. I didn't say, hey, Jimmy would be great at pretending to be dice, but like, I believe you when you say it, but I don't know
I'm
thinking.
Drunk. Why are you listening to me? About anything.
I think I was sitting down and
right,
you looked taller.
Fine. So I'll control everything.
Well, you can do, you control what you want me to control.
Okay. Right. That's what I'm going to do. All right. Spencer, you're in charge of what happens.
Okay.
Or what we're seeing and what's in the room. Okay. And then whenever anyone wants to do anything, instead of rolling dice, Jimmy, who's not part of the narrative, Jimmy, you're like a non-diegetic element.
That is not a word. Non-diegetic.
You produce results. You're sort of like a god it wouldn't be fun for him to say random numbers. Jimmy, you have to do more than that. You have to represent kind of like
dice.
You have to indicate fate in a way that Spencer can read. So you stand
can
over
you give,
there.
Can you give me an example?
Yes.
Give me an example.
Okay. All right, well, you be me. You be me.
I'm you. Okay.
The example, and I'll
okay,
be you, so what I want you to do.
I'm Dan.
Do you know how to play Dungeons & Dragons?
I don't
so
know how to play
Spencer,
Dungeons & Dragons.
You tell him what he's looking at.
Okay.
Jimmy, you're in a wonderful field, but it's surrounded by trees. Maybe it's a forest, even. What do you do?
So tell him what you want
to
do.
I'd like to climb up one of the trees.
Oh, shit. That's him rolling? Are you rolling?
It's a very sexy tree.
You have to interpret it.
Wait, what?
Because...
like, I'm a human die. Like, okay. I'm a... like, I'm not going to just say... I'm just saying, like this could mean to you... It's like a tarot card. It could mean, like...
man.
It's like, oh, that seems like a normal, average thing. He's acquiescent. So if he says he wants to climb a tree and I'm going like this, I guess he climbs the tree, maybe.
Well, I thought
or
you were...
or if I'm like... then it's like he fell... a twig poked him in the eye and he fell out of the tree. Because I'm being, like, aggressive.
Now, Dan, were you the tree?
No.
Okay, okay.
I'm like a
yeah,
human...
yeah, what are you?
I'm a human die.
Well, a human die would tumble around and reveal a face with a number of side... like, a number on it.
That's...
yeah.
That's if a human was a die.
Right.
Yeah,
if
a human die.
Played the role of a die...
uh-huh.
A human wouldn't have to say 3 or 8. A human could use all their human faces and behaviors to indicate the vibe... so like if a person was just like, you know, like if you were just like, you know, like you,
it's clearly
to
a
you,
2.
That might mean an extreme result.
But well, yeah,
it isn't a result of a dice, a number.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Okay.
No, if it's a human die.
You gotta say the number, the dice. Okay, so you gotta say how many sides are on the die. So, like, if you say this is a 20-sided die, then it's like, oh, is that a 17 out of 20? Or is that, like, you know, it's gotta be like that.
No, why wouldn't they just say 7? They would just say a number then.
Because it's like, what are you trying to roll? Are you trying to roll a very high roll of a 6-sided die? Or are you trying to get a critical?
I'm saying that the person's
I think it's more like a dreidel.
Uh-huh.
Because... He's rolling and becoming a symbol for something rather than a number quantifying something, and he wants you to interpret it as the next action and how successful it is based on the emotion you're getting from his action.
Okay.
I told you these is gods.
Okay, so Jimmy.
Okay, so I was climbing the tree.
Well, why don't you get you guys be the adventurers? I'm obviously I'll be the die.
Okay.
But it's like, and don't be distracted by the fact that I'm just gonna like feel the vibe.
Okay, no.
Like I'm not. Another thing about a die is that it's like this punctuated thing where it's like, oh, now we roll it, now we get a number. No, I'm over here. I'm not part of your narrative. But Spencer's got one eye on me mentally, and I'm just sort of like feeling things.
Okay.
And but I'm just sort of like, and then when like,
how do we
like
quantify
his...
a roll then? It sounds like you're in a continuous rolling.
You're not quantifying, and
so I look at you. I just take a snapshot and go, this frame of Dan's existence.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
Well, then when do I decide when I should throw to you? Like
that's your own decision.
Well, that's
like taking a cup and dipping it in a river, like. Like the river, it could be, you know, so like when do you do it and how big's the cup? And it's like, it's up to you. It's like, that's what dice are supposed to. Like,
I thought I would be the most on board for this.
I feel
but
like
you
if
are,
we show
you are crafting,
them.
You are crafting a new paradigm.
I'm already doing it.
Oh, I'm
it.
Not.
I don't care.
Okay. He's crafted it.
No, but you're a big part of it. I mean, I really think we're sitting on a gold mine.
I'm
here
already
if we can
doing
just start it.
No, this is great.
I'm already doing it.
Okay, we have to go on the adventure.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're on a journey, and I would like to be Gwenethor, the Gollum fairy princess.
Okay, can I still be the manager, the ghost manager? Okay.
Gwenethor?
Yeah, Gwenethor. Yeah.
Gwenethor and Ghost Manager, you find yourself in Brizzlebees, the merry town of Brizzles and Bees. Around you see Brizzles and Bees winding their merry ways through the city of Brizzle Bees. I don't know what it's called anymore. Brizzled Bees. At your your feet, you can see the tiny dwellings of the bees and the slightly larger dwellings of the Brizzleds.
We must be careful where we step.
Okay, we will talk. We will walk very gently.
Oh, ow! Oh, ow! Oh, you got me.
You don't step on any more bees than those ones that just earlier made noise. You find yourself to what seems like the town hall of Bristol bees.
No repercussions for killing townspeople.
Yes. There is the tiny town hall there.
Let's go in.
Yes.
You open the door and out comes the mayor. He's a little bee. He's got he looks like the Honey Nut Cheerios bee, but like with a mustache.
Welcome to our town.
Go be the guy. You don't have to stand back there. Here, you want this mic?
Thanks so much.
Hello, little bee.
Welcome to our town.
I am Gwynethor, the Golem Princess, and this is my manager.
We have waited for your arrival. We've heard so much about you. Welcome to Bizzlebee. You've killed about 1,000 of our residents.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. We're just happy to see you.
We realized as soon as we came to town that nothing random really happens here ever, does it?
Nope. Monday looks like Friday. Friday looks like Saturday. You get it.
You smell the smell of sweet lemons. It's weird because lemons smell sour usually. And at the same time, you feel everything expanding and growing, including yourselves and the buildings around you.
But, oh my God, the scale remains.
You can't. It looks about the same because everything grows at roughly the same size, but you're clearly larger than you were.
So I'd be about this tall.
No, you grow more. You grow more. It's a weird occurrence.
Great.
Yeah.
Allow me to show you around our beautiful town.
That would be great.
That's the library.
Oh.
That's the other library.
I'm not sure how I feel about it yet.
You feel conflicted.
Come!
Which library should I go to? I'll go to this one!
Well, that library, boring! This library contains books that will lead you into the arms of our mascot?
Oh, the Tai Chi master?
The Tai Chi master! Or maybe.
I think he wants to be left alone.
Yes. He hates to be misnamed.
He's been doing things all by himself without anyone talking to him or acknowledging his existence.
Let's see.
You guys are being literal and you're.
Maybe you'd like to meet the soul of our town.
No, yes. I think he's meant to be separate from us.
Yes, he's not part of the narrative.
Okay, Spencer, you do my part, I'll do your part.
Well, okay.
Let's just trade.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not saying I'm going to do better, I'm just saying, like, I obviously owe it to people to demonstrate what I mean. It's like you guys, don't worry about him. You're just people. You exist in your own narrative. Don't worry about him. That's fucked up. I'll worry about him.
Sorry we let you down, Dan.
Spencer, where are they? They're in a tree trunk. Where are they?
Dan, we were really feeling sorry for you.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, man. We're trying to execute your fucking vision.
We were feeling bad for you, Dan.
No, don't feel sorry.
No, you were out there all alone and looked kind of ridiculous. And
it didn't seem like you were generating anything and inspiring any new directions.
Are you guys
we want to please you, Dan.
You're trying to construct a meta improv narrative.
No, that was your idea, Dan. We were just trying to support it.
You give gifts with all these crazy body movements, you showing your body and everything. And we wanted to accept those gifts and heighten. Yeah.
And right now we're playing a game where the scene has broken down and we are playing our personas.
Yeah.
Well, what if my character decides that because you're disappointing me, I will go back in time?
Well,
why don't we see what that would look like? Cut to a great Chicago phrase. Cut to.
All right. You guys are adventuring in a big field. You're a fighter and a wizard.
I'm a fighter. Great.
Jimmy Crane, you are Jimmy Craneus, the great fighter.
Yes, I'm Jimmy Crane, the great fighteress.
You have a plate armor and a hat and a sword. Scott Adsit, you are Adsorterus, the wizard of Sacticula. You love magic,
but you don't mind sucking dick.
You got a bag of tricks that include sucking dick and some spells. And you guys are on a field, a great field overlooking a town, and you're on a quest to find a gold ring that you heard might exist.
Pretty original.
But there's some goblins. There's some goblins coming.
It's so easy.
There's goblins coming. And I'm basing that on his movement he's not the goblins. You understand?
Why would we waste all that good movement though?
But I'm looking at his movement, but it's not, God damn it. It's not that hard.
Don't acknowledge the dice.
Goblins are coming.
Just don't acknowledge the dice.
Yeah.
What Scott said, right?
The goblins are shooting at you.
We're going to try to make
it. Oh, you got hit real bad, Jimmy. You got hit in the arm with an arrow. Zephyr winds blow some cock. You're waving your arms in a magical manner. You try to cast a healing spell on Jimmy Crane's character, and it's doing okay. It's doing fine.
All right. Wow,
not nearly as good as the dick
sucker. Don't use it for about 3 weeks.
Okay, great. It's feeling a little sore, but it's feeling a little better. I don't have to suck your dick, do I, for that?
You don't have to, but I would really appreciate it.
Okay.
More arrows are raining down at you.
All right.
But they're missing generally because the goblins are far away. They're just taking pot shots at you. Okay.
Maybe there's a way we can stop the goblins.
Okay. I've got a sword. I forgot.
Oh, the goblins are on the move. They're coming.
Okay, I was trying to slay the goblin.
All right, I'm going to try a multiplying spell on your sword and throw one sword. They will land as 100.
All right.
Your multiplying spell fails.
All right, here it goes. Ooh.
I'm sorry, I was distracted. I was looking at your dick.
Your sword flies off into the grass. The goblins are laughing at you.
That's not the goblins. Though.
They're continuing to march towards you.
All right, we got to stop them somehow or get out of here.
Okay.
Jimmy, you still... No, you don't. Okay.
You're wearing armor. Why don't you just go fight them
That's
for
a
us?
Great idea. I'm going to... If I don't come back, I love you. No. That's an incentive if I come back. All right.
Jimmy proceeds across the great plains of Dixicula, and he... The goblins are terrified of something. They're summoning healing powers to buff themselves, to give themselves, like, higher armor. As you get towards them, you see them starting to glow bright red, indicating that it's going to be harder to hit them.
Use the strategy I used at Offaldor.
All right.
Just go for their penises.
All right.
The goblins attack, you attack. Your attacks are not doing good.
All right.
The goblins are now, they think they're a turn to attack. And they're doing real good. They're real excited, and they do. And their arrows are piercing you for...
I'm down. I've been hit by an arrow.
I'm going to approach a goblin and try to get it to surrender through pleasure.
Okay.
The goblins are considering your offer.
Is it working? I think it's working.
They seem into it. The goblins are down.
Keep going. I see the ring. I see the ring.
It's attached to what I'm using.
The goblins have an offer for you. They say if you continue to pleasure them, that they'll spare your lives. Oh. One by one, the goblins' chodes go down your throat, filling you with goblin seed.
No.
I'm pregnant.
No.
They're different than us.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm giving birth through my urethra.
All right, hold it. It's coming.
It's coming.
I got it.
A goblin baby. All right. A goblin baby came out.
It's a boy. It's a baby boy.
All right. Well, I... All right.
No.
At least I know he's mine. Okay, I'm willing to admit this isn't working if you guys are. All right. That was... Okay, that's all I want. Okay, Spencer, you can have your...
And you're saying you couldn't write that?
Yeah.
Okay, now I get it. Now I understand what he meant when he said, "What do you mean?"
Dan, I want to ask you what you learned from that.
That it doesn't work. That you can't just come out on stage and make up a show. But
I wanted to give you something. I'm a Midwesterner. You're a Midwesterner. You've been very kind to me over the years. And I wanted to get you a little gift. This is big in Chicago. It's Frango Mints.
Frango Mints.
Yeah.
Frango Mints, when you care to send Frango Mints.
Thanks. Thank you.
I didn't know, you know, usually people bring, pizzas or... What else? What did you...
Bone-in pork sandwich?
Yeah. Polish sausage. But in Chicago, we Midwesterners, we like to bring something to the host of the party.
All right.
Well, I appreciate the gesture.
Thank you.
Did that improv exhaust you, Dan?
No. I'm moving on.
Okay.
You know, it's like...
King of the Segway.
So what do we know about? So as improvisers, like we make things up. We go, okay, so God is in the moment, and everything that happened before and everything that's about to happen, that's the devil. He's gonna fuck you up. God is in the moment. You guys are following me, right?
Totally. Just like the last exercise.
Right. So in politics, like, we have this right versus left paradigm. So we can recognize Republicans, for instance, as being very out of the moment. They're worried about what happened yesterday and what's about to happen. Democrats, are they really in the moment, or are they just a mirror image of Republicans, improvisationally speaking? They're not really making it up as they go, because they're politicians. So don't we just need a revolution where everybody just, like, rips off their clothes and runs in the street and goes, like, well, make it up as you go. But here's, and before you answer that.
Okay.
Aren't we doomed as a society? Because, like, hasn't the height of what we've been able to adopt democracy? And doesn't that by default mean mob rule? And aren't most people stupid? And then, like, so if you're smart and you're liberal, then don't you have to either
choose between consorting with a bunch of morons who are like, yay, be liberal, and you're like, yeah, but you're dumb. And that's like kind of the, I see like there's a division among the Democrats between like the, you know, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but you got your Bernie people and your traditional Democrats and stuff. And there's like a real heavy division between folks because they're like, yeah, we don't want fucking more corruption and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but if you don't, it's fucking, yeah, don't even get excited, sir. It's just like, you just feel like this like wedge. It's like right now, it's like so fun watching the bad guys be in power and watching them kind of fumble over themselves. But then you feel this dark cloud in the horizon where it's like, the next move is we're supposed to all agree on something and do something together. And we can't get our shit together. We're going to start like arguing with each other really soon. We're already doing it. What was my point? Like, isn't there a way to like, what are we going to do? Why shouldn't I just kill myself?
Nobody's stopping you.
Only you are stopping you.
Dan, if you did kill yourself,
right?
Well, how would you do it? I mean,
would it be in front of a large crowd?
Yeah.
At like a comedy festival?
I feel like I'd do a major podcast and keep talking about how I hadn't gotten my gun yet. And then I'd announce that I had gotten my gun. And I'd pick an obscure town.
Okay, give me an example.
A hardworking town, but I'd maximize the number of people.
Okay, blue state, red state.
I'd want to push like 1,000 people.
Okay.
Somewhere around my hometown.
Okay.
And then I'd just pull out a gun, just blow my brains out. I'd blow my brains out, I think.
Okay.
Now, is...
Because I feel like pills, like if you took like a bottle of Tylenol, you'd be like, ow, my kidney. And then you'd be like, ow, my kidney hurts. I changed my mind. Killing myself hurts. And then you'd be like, well, yeah, but your kidneys are shut down. And
I think you mean your liver.
What?
I think you mean your liver.
Yes, we heard you liver, sir. Liver.
Too many people talking over each other.
Everyone knows kidneys don't filter out a damn thing.
Okay.
I just want to ask you this. I want to play to the audience on this one. Really common here in Chicago is people will jump in front of the L to take their life.
Really?
Yeah. Would you do something like that?
No, absolutely.
Why
not?
No.
Because too dramatic, too macho. Too fucking, like, I don't know, just too...
So you want to go out quietly with a gun?
The thing about jumping in front of a train,
right?
Too athletic. That's okay. What it is.
I'll tell you what always pisses me off about it is the people that do it during rush hour.
Right. Yeah.
And that really inconveniences.
Just ruins everyone's day.
Where it's not going to affect.
That's
as many
the
people.
Other thing is I don't want to fuck other people's days up. Like I don't want to do that. I would if I was going to blow my brains out. By the way, I would coat my bathroom in Saran wrap.
I would
like write the nicest note like for my housekeeper. I'd be like, I am so sorry. Like, don't go upstairs. Call 911. There's a mess up there, but you can just undo the masking tape and just seal it all up. Put me in the blue bin and just be done with it. Like, and
so
here's,
you don't want to throw
here's, a, here's,
off.
A, here's a box of toys for your kid.
You don't want anyone inconvenienced or distracted
Absolutely
by
not,
your death.
No, I would not
Does
want.
Does that include
it.
Your family?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, well, see, I think the absence of you and the fact that you feel such a failure that they would feel that maybe they failed you and they would
God,
be
I wish I could bring any of my family out right now and prove you so wrong. No, I don't think any of them would be... They wouldn't care.
They wouldn't care.
No, they'd be like, I get it.
You beat us to it, Dan.
Yeah, they'd be like, I saw that coming. I get it. We're so proud of him. He was our little guy.
Would they say, like, we thought he did it, he should have done it sooner?
They'd be like, I figured that was going to happen.
Okay.
You know? And they'd be like, well, I'm next, but it's going to be with, like, I'm going to get diabetes or something.
Did your parents lay suicide out as an option?
No. It's just like, I'm the writer in the family. They'd be like, well, he's the writer. He'd be 44 years. That's good. Good for him.
I got one more question, Dan. Who do you want to find you?
Ooh. And that could be someone in this audience tonight. Y'all motherfuckers are cold-blooded.
I would want it to be like a technician or something. I'd want
okay,
it to
someone
be,
you don't know, you don't owe anything to.
I don't want anybody unduly. That would be
okay,
part
so,
of the whole
thing. So we find you, and then what do we learn about you from your suicide? What
you mean, what would I put in the note once I'm finally gone?
Yeah, let's start with the note.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we just write my note right
let's
now?
Let's do it
right.
Okay, great. We'll help you.
Yeah.
We'll help you, Dan. Because it's hard. It's hard. I know it's hard.
Dear world.
Okay.
So sorry.
They will play this when you're dead, by the way. Go ahead.
Right. You don't want to put him in his head while he's writing.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I guess you saw what I saw. Things are getting hard. Like, don't take this as encouragement to do what I did. I had a good life.
Woo!
Like, I didn't have to fight in any wars. I never had to be hungry. Like, I wasn't a black woman.
Dan, can I just stop right now? Yeah. I'm getting the sense.
Some of the best loves on the planet.
I want to remind you, Beyonce is kicking it right about now.
Well, I wasn't Beyonce, is obvious. I think that's the unspoken part of the
what you don't know is that a lot of black women can do the same shit as Beyonce. We just ain't showing off. You want to come back as a black woman. I don't want to be a black woman.
Even in my suicide note, I'm persecuted.
Well, no, but if I read that...
I can't get a break.
No, I want to help you. I mean, it's funny how, you know, the improvisers are helping the writer.
Right.
But as I was going through the note, I'm like, that guy would never commit suicide.
It sounds like you're trying to talk yourself out of it.
Yes.
I was never in a war. I had a good life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, you're right. And I have no plans to kill myself, by the way.
You sure? I mean, you brought it up.
This is what friends do. We help out.
So how does the note go from there? You say a bunch of positive things.
Yeah. It's got to turn.
I say, everybody, you're off the hook. Please, I'm so sorry for the mess. Like, I wish that I could have just jumped into a vaporizer or a Sarlacc pit. I'm so sorry. Like, for those of you who found it and all this stuff, I'm so sorry. And then I'd say, you know, I think our species is plagued with a notion that we are not good enough. And I think it provokes us to do things that hurt ourselves and each other. And I think that once you get to the spot that I'm in, go ahead.
I think you got to personalize. You can't speak of the whole world. You know,
well, I already
the whole world.
Said my personal shit. I thought that
you said you... I have a great life, but the world sucks, so I'm going to kill myself. Everybody else is acting like human beings. So
well,
I'm
yeah,
gonna
I'm not going to wait for my life to. If I wait for my life to suck, I'll never kill myself.
So you want to go out on a high, like the Carol Burnett show?
Yeah, like it's no big trick to have a comfortable life.
It is for some.
Yeah, that's why I want to kill myself.
So you feel responsibility for the people who are not as successful as you?
Yeah, it's hard. Like, well, they're not as lucky.
But it's not reading in your note right now. I'm not getting that. Are you, Scott?
Well, I'm just curious. You have regret for being successful?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, you can stop that right now.
Wait, instead of the suicide, I just give all my money away and then wander around the street?
Yeah, you can stop being successful anytime you want. But you want to work hard and be successful and get praise and have 1,000 people cheer you.
No, I don't...
That sounded like about
300 people.
That was really
about
faint.
200.
Well, yeah. A percentage of 1,000 people cheer you.
In their defense, 500 of them want to kill themselves. So look at you clap. Yes.
All right. Well, let me start my note over.
Okay.
Kids. It's not going to get any better. The writing's on the wall. From where I was sitting, the next thing that happens is your knee starts to ache, and then it gets harder and harder. I'm leaving soon. Now, after I finish the letter.
Unless there's another draft.
I can't. It's hard. It's hard to be on Twitter.
What?
You guys.
Another Twitter-related death.
Yeah.
You guys seem unhappy. There's not enough gravy.
But see, don't you see? I'm gonna interrupt your note for a second.
Right.
You guys are unhappy, so I'm gonna kill myself.
Right.
Okay. I understand the empathy you have.
I'm leaving all my money in a box.
You remember Stardust Memories?
Right. No. Well, kind of. Yeah.
Okay. So he's suicidal, and he says, "Why don't I just kill myself?" And he says that the alien, all-knowing person, says to Woody, "You're not Superman. You're a comedian. You want to save the world? Tell funnier jokes."
Right.
You delight people.
Right, but
you think people are unhappy, and your job, your delight, is to delight them. So you're making the world better. The world you're complaining about, you're fixing. And so then you take yourself out of it?
Yeah, but what about all the people that say, you should go back to work writing cartoons instead of talking about how dumb the president is, and then you're like, well, I don't want to write. What am I supposed to write a cartoon about?
They're 13 years old. Not physically.
But wait, how did we get it? I never said. When did I?
You said the world is unhappy, so I'm going to kill myself.
I guess, yeah. I maybe technically said that.
You have an existential crisis.
Yeah.
But you're intelligent enough to think past an existential crisis.
I guess that's what it is that we are at a point politically. Like, we've gotten to a point, like it was easy in the Bush years and all the shit with the dangling chads and all that crap. It was very easy to just be like a Han Solo and be like, oh, I have no love for the Empire, but I love to fucking smuggle. As of the election, it was like, are you fucking kidding me? You're either in favor of the mass enslavement of all humanity and absolute fucking apocalypse, or you're part of some rebellion that has to spend its life like flying in X-Wings and doing like horrible runs and stuff. And it's like, woe be to the rich, white, lazy piece of shit. You know, like, you're just like, well, where am I supposed to fit in? I don't want to earn my bread and butter. I don't want to find out what I'm made of. It's just a drag. I'd rather be a martyr and just be dead. I think that's what it is. Like, I don't want to.
You're not
I don't
a martyr if you take your own life. You have to. Someone has to take your life.
I could make it look like an accident.
All right. How would that look?
Okay.
How would you do it?
I could have some friends over, and I could have like a roller skate party. And I could rent a 5-story tower.
Okay.
And have a roller skate party.
Trigger
and then
warning.
I could just get really drunk and... Nah, come on. All right. We were getting somewhere. I liked what we were doing. But, you know, no, I'm not... You're right. What you're saying is that I'm a fat, white, straight...
I never said fat or straight.
No. I'm pretty sure that was me.
You're saying that my responsibility, it's like moving forward, you have to live in the fucking apocalypse. You can't dramatize it so much that you can avoid living in it. You actually have to be a character in it. You have to like go, okay, so this is the way the world is. It's not normal. It's not good, but I'm in it. You can't be, it's no country for old narcissists.
And it's what women and black people do every fucking day.
I don't believe there's that many women and black people out there.
Scott.
Some of you are trying
Scott,
to get out of gravy
what
train.
Was the point you were trying to make to Dan?
When?
When you were saying to him about, okay, you do comedy, you make people's lives better.
Yeah, well, he was saying that the world is unhappy, and he's one of the reasons some of us aren't. Are part of it anyway.
I don't know. Yeah, well, no, it was just like, I think it's like, it's defeatism. That's what we ended up addressing. It's like a lot of people out there probably feel that way. Like, you wake up in the morning and you're like, holy fuck, how could it be so bad? Like, and how come I can't do anything about it?
You can.
And then you, if you react to that with like, oh fuck, I'm going to like just, you know, give up or go cynical, you know, that's because you're like, well, the alternative is you have to like do shit that's like uncomfortable. You got to strain your back.
But at least enjoy being cynical about everything. You can enjoy that.
Yeah. It was easier before. to be cynical. You can't be cynical now. It's harder to be cynical now.
What happens if you're... I'm still cynical.
If you're cynical now, then you're like one of these like libertarian people that's like this, an Asperger Trump voter. You're like one of these Silicon Valley people that's like, meet Moop, logic says no Hillary because her emails. Like, it's like... I'm not gonna be one of those people. I'm not gonna be like, meep moop, logic says be a fucking Nazi. Like, I'm not doing it.
You could be a Schindler. You could use your ring to buy 800 Jews.
I would like to be a Schindler.
You could be a Schindler. Well, there's a lot of, this is a great opportunity for all of us to be heroes.
Let's all
because be Schindlers. It's so very bad. You, even the small amount of shit you do.
What did Schindler do again?
Schindler.
Not enough. He didn't do enough. He could have done more.
Yep. In his defense, that was a sweet fucking ring. It was a beautiful ring.
I see like young black women, like millennial black women on Twitter who are like going like, trying to rally like the Democratic cause, and then they're like up against like this thing that's like you can't dismiss it. Like, we got behind Hillary and she lost, and so there's like this thing that's like we're looking down the barrel of this thing where it's like, don't look at your watch.
I have a show at 10.
It's like we're gonna go up against this thing. Like, there's just this cloud. Like, you gotta be on the other side of the cloud. And like, but we can't get along with each other. Like, we're like, there's like genuine socialists, and I see everything that they're saying. They're like, yeah, fucking like, why do we keep mitigating our language about this? Why do we keep playing ball? Why are we acting like politicians when it's not going to work? We're in a political debate with professional politicians. Why don't we just revolt and resist and have resistance mean something and be socialists and leftists?
You have to assume.
That's 30% of our 900 audience. And then there's the other people that are just like, fuck, man, no, we got to get behind one boulder and push it. Otherwise, the boulder's not going to go anywhere because it's up against another boulder. It's like all the evil people, they have no problem getting along because they all agree that they should just lie and hang out. Like, so then those people equally sensible to me are like, no, let's be Democrats because how else are we going to win? You got to, if you don't like Pepsi, if Pepsi's owned by Hitler, guess what? You love Coke. And I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. I hate fucking being forced to drink Coke just because Pepsi's Hitler. It fucking sucks. But what are you going to do? Be Sierra Mist and have no one drink you ever? Just to spite corn syrup? I don't know what to do, so I want to kill myself. Because I don't want to be a passive party to it. I just want to go quietly into my mansion and just write a little note and then say, hope you like season 3.
We better.
I mean, what do you do, Jimmy Corrine? I don't mean to say your last name like an attack. What do you do, Jimmy Corrine? What do you do? What do you do? Who did you vote for? Put your dick out. Tell us. Stop interviewing people like you do on your
podcast.
Your top-rated audio podcast.
Improv nerd. Yeah, thanks for the plug, Dan.
You're welcome, yeah. You piece of shit. Tell us who you are.
Scott Adson, season 6 of Veep.
Brandon Johnson, I'm selling stolen coats in the alleyway.
Dan?
Yeah?
What would you like to know?
I'd like to
really,
know.
Really? I feel...
Well, who'd you vote for?
I voted in the primary. I voted for Bernie Sanders.
And then
I had huge resentment towards the Democratic Party because I didn't like how they treated Bernie Sanders, and I didn't vote.
Whoa. Wow. Well, respect his bravery. He knew that wasn't going to be a fun thing to say out loud.
It's time to open up a can of privilege. I needed you. White people, we trusted you. Fucking up with that Iraq war. And then we let you run around and this is what you fucking do. Well, we taking that shit back.
We taking it back. The next candidate we run is going to be a black burn victim who's in a wheelchair just to send you a message. God damn it. You don't know what to do because you never had to fight. You shouldn't be fighting right now because we shouldn't be this far gone. But now that we are, that's what you do. You get involved. God damn it.
Is there a connection, you think, between Jimmy not voting in the election and Dan wanting to kill himself? Like, it's both these two people that didn't get their way and kind of don't want to do what they think is the hard work they need to do and just kind of having a little tantrum. No offense.
Yes,
I mean, obviously.
No, none taken. I mean, some taken, but...
But isn't there similarness there? I mean, it seems like it might just be, I mean, last week we talked about white fragility, but it's...
Fragility.
Yeah. No offense to me. I thank you so much for your honesty, by the way. This is a very great discussion to have. But I don't know. It's just, it's this thing, you know, right? The people who aren't used to dealing with adversity, they deal with adversity and they kind of don't know how to deal with it because they're not, you know, conditioned to do it like underprivileged people tend to be.
Well, and the thing is, Dan, you still have hope for the Democratic Party. I've totally, like, I feel betrayed by the Democratic Party and I feel like both parties, like, are taking corporate money.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm totally hopeless about that.
Yeah. And I was never, I was never, this is like, my entree into politics because I was like, I always looked at the bipartisan system as being part of one big fucking Pringles sham where it was like, oh, what do you like, ranch or Cool Ranch? And then we elected a fucking legit Nazi and I was like, holy shit, how do we fight this? And I started like analyzing it. It was like, wait, you can't be in the resistance and also be surrounded by hip people all the time. Like, you're gonna sometimes be around morons if you represent the interest of a majority of people, because most people are stupid. But if you're on the side that the rebellion's on in the Star Wars universe, it's like, yeah, there's a guy, his head's
shaped like fat wing, X-wing guys who you wanted to die.
It's like you gotta just go, oh, the galaxy's made up of a bunch of different people, and like who knows? Will the slugs get along with the lobsters or whatever the fuck? Who cares? But I know I don't want to be fucking Christopher Lee, like pinching people's necks shut just because they don't dress like a Girl Scout. Like I don't side with the Death Star. Period.
And how about we don't judge the people we're trying to help?
What's that?
We don't judge the people we're trying to help.
Well, you can't. Yeah, you can't be like a populist. You can't like go like, oh, I believe that that a society should be judged by the quality of life of its least fortunate people, and then simultaneously be like, that dude smells like a shoe.
You can. You can give a homeless dude $1 and still say he smells like piss and you don't want him to sit on your couch.
Yeah.
But at least go the step of giving the motherfucker $1.
It's just I think that guys like me and Jimmy, like we're used to that stuff, but we're not used to like the laser line dividing, like it's that laser line that divides the Bernie crap from the Hillary crap. Or whatever, like we had it easy. I didn't vote. I was behind Bernie and hoped that Bernie would like. I was like, go Bernie, and I stayed out of it because of the gender thing because I did not want to. Like I was like, this is trouble. This is a hot button, and the last thing we need is divisiveness right now. And then once she had secured the nomination, I was like, fucking, all right, full steam ahead. Let's all vote for her because she's a Democrat, and we need to defeat these Nazis. So, but you know, and it's just that's stinking thinking to 30% of you who cheered for the other thing, and I don't want those people dismissed because they're smart people. But like, yeah, that's where I was at. You know, the truth be told, I didn't show up for no primary vote because I was like, this whole system's a piece of shit. What am I? Fuck your primaries. This is a bipartisan system. These people built a fucking government on top of our constitution. Fuck these assholes. Like it's garbage. Like fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them in the eye. But. God damn it. There's a fucking, like, one half of them has been hacked. The half of the fucked up system has been hacked.
by a cancer, by a virus. They've moved in. White nationalists, actual Nazis, possibly Russian spies. Don't even go there. Just forget all the Russiagate. They're just white nationalists. They hacked the Republican Party. Our dream that the bipartisan system, which has been shoved down our throats since we were born, like, would collapse, that dream came true in a way that maybe is not as convenient for us as we thought it would be. Like, starting with the Republicans going like, oh, fuck it, Hitler's running. Okay, well, as long as he's wearing a red hat. That represented the end of the Republican Party. Like, if we live through this, I don't know how you're going to, you know, the Republicans could be fucking dead, and that's a great thing. On the other side, the Democrats also got hacked in the sense that there was a socialist running on the Democratic ticket. And like, when my first vote was for Ross Perot, I was 18 years old, and I was like, fucking, like, let's do it. And he was a third party candidate, and third party candidates can't win, and all that stuff. So, I'm off on a tangent, and just saying, like, I'm 44. I was like, okay, Democrat. We're Democrat then, because we have to get this done. But I am sick and tired of being told by this system that we're in a state of fucking emergency the entire time. When are we ever going to achieve this unachievable dream where we're voting our conscience? And I know that that speaks to privilege. I do. I know how silly that sounds to a Democrat.
Just me.
That's the thing, is that like black women are the ones that are turning me. Like, when I look at them on Twitter, I'm like, they're the ones that are putting up with the most shit. They're the ones that I'm looking at, I think the Statue of Liberty now is just like a black woman, a black millennial woman who is like, fuck it. I've been hurt. I don't give a fuck. I still believe in some form of some system. I have every reason to self-destruct, but I'm just going to be a Democrat, and I'm just going to push this boulder, and we're going to push it. And like, I look at them as being heroes right now, because they're not being treated very like people are just coming, you know, they have to deal with the meat moop moops. Like, it's just dudes coming out and going like, no, sure, that's interesting. What about the drone strikes? What about the emails? Like,
I love that a black woman come home from work is like, man, the goddamn meat moop. Fucking with me. I'm trying to buy some groceries, and this motherfucking meat moop tell me I need a coupon.
I don't know what to do, Jimmy Crane. I don't know what to do. I don't know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to act
locally.
The
first thing you should do is ask another white person about how to lead you out of some treacherous moments.
I didn't hear what he said.
I said, oh,
and I don't have to. Turn his mic off. Turn his mic off. Let's fix America with an amazing scene. Let's use our stagecraft. Right? I don't know.
That's what it's for, man.
Yeah.
You've been awful quiet, 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Who'd you vote for?
Yeah. You are uncomfortable with this one, aren't you?
Tell Tina Fey who you voted for. Yeah.
I voted for Trump.
You're not joking. Jesus Christ on a cracker.
It's the 1st of April, everyone.
Hello.
It is the 1st of April.
I was ready to go about 10 minutes on how I support Trump.
Did you really vote for Trump?
No!
Okay. Since I've known you in Columbia, you're getting to be a better and better actor. I can't believe that was so convincing.
So brief. What if America was a child born
okay
at the dawn of progress?
Yes, he is.
I want poor people.
Bill, I don't know about this one. He wants poor people.
Now, what self-respecting little baby would want poor people?
Give me your weary. Your wretched masses. I
want to hang out with the dirty folk.
I'm worried about the boy because no baby full of immigrants can succeed.
You're right, Bill.
A pox upon you, mother and father.
Don't you talk to yes. Europe like that.
I'll talk how I want. I have freedom of speech. The right to assemble all my dirty parts. I will learn to do skateboard tricks. And if you come to invade me, you'll be so tired from the trip that you won't be able to deal with the fact that we fight like Indians now.
Bill, is this what happened when we were on fertility? I mean, I don't understand this. What are you doing?
I'm learning to skateboard.
You're too young to be riding a skateboard.
I love tea in the harbor. I love suffrage for everyone but black people and women.
I feel like I want to interpret his movements as some symbol of something.
I'm 14 now in America years. That means it's 1812.
We know what it means.
Yes, it does. Your mother now has menopause.
And we've gone through a strange, confusing war during which the White House was burnt to the ground by a Canadian advancing army.
Oh, please don't bring that up. Not in this house.
He's very bookish.
Yes.
Mind your own business. I want my own room. I'm an isolationist.
Oh. Bill, he's been up there for hours.
What are you doing up there, young man?
I smell something funny. Are you going to do something?
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
There's only telegram technology, so that's how the wars happen.
Stop.
Finally, Bill, you're disciplining him. He's been talking over me since he's been born.
I have learned from the Chinese and Mexicans that there's such a thing as opium and marijuana. I am having a great time.
How old are you now?
17, which makes it 1848. So we're almost cleaning up all of the Native Americans.
And your father had an affair.
With France.
Yes. Bill.
Yeah. Right. If we close.
You don't
things,
know your father's name?
It's King England.
Kingland.
You dress it up how you want. Taxation without representation is get off my back, old man.
We've already discussed that a long time ago.
Okay, well, I don't. Okay, fine.
Well,
but you go off and live on your own.
Yes,
now see how well you
yes.
do.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
thanks. You're not gonna get anything from us.
Yes, that's over.
Chinamen, make the railroads. It's in the way that you use it.
Well, sure, anyone can succeed with Chinamen.
Yes.
Yeah. Mexicans grow everything. Black people work for free.
Oh.
We're nailing it.
Look at this, Bill.
Cha-ching.
Look at this, Bill. Our son's first job is at a Starbucks, and
yeah.
we walked in on by accident.
Oh, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Nice to meet you at the 1914 League of Nations, I think. Let's say 1911.
Okay.
Ish. Hey, how are you?
A grand latte, please.
Whoa. would you. Wait, I'm working at a coffee shop?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Here you go. That'll be $500, bitch.
You're going to call your mother a bitch?
You going to invade me? Our audience says it's 9/11.
It didn't happen yet.
Just ignore that. Don't worry about that.
Okay, here's $500.
Yeah, you're welcome, France.
Well, thank you for your help.
You're welcome, England.
Bill.
You guys want a fucking straw? Because that's $40.
Yeah, we'll take a straw.
Yeah, guess what?
The fucking dollar is what rules the earth now.
All right. We came by actually to ask if we could borrow some money.
Oh, yes. Really? So Grandpa's divine right didn't earn you anything at the bank? Motherfuck.
We're thinking maybe we did some things wrong. We'd like to try it again.
Oh, yes. Would you like to supplant your existing class system based on inheritance with a new one based on a meritocracy?
Let's not go too far. The class system works.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
Bill, I told you this wouldn't work with him. He's just so stubborn.
Jesus, they need more. They need some money from the petty cash. I'm too busy being high on snorting money. Yeah, we're all fucking rich. So I guess just like take here you go. Like look, talk to us later.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And say hi to Germany for us.
Could I have a muffin?
Yes. Here's a free muffin. Hmm.
Could I have a hug?
Aww.
All right. Just for the time being.
The 60s.
So it's now the 60s?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We skipped World War II. That was the only thing I would have known how to do.
Do you want to go right to Vietnam?
Yeah.
Would that help you? We can go right to Vietnam.
Whoa. Okay. I'm on acid.
You're really a disappointment.
Yes.
Yeah, but everyone's equal.
Maybe he's right.
Money's everything.
Let's just imitate him for a while.
I think that's a good idea.
Look, at the end of the day...
Nothing else has worked with him.
It doesn't matter if you're president, king, a nun, a pope. Suck my dick, eat some fondue, and do some cocaine.
Okay.
All right, we'll suck your dick first.
It's in the way that you use it. Bell bottoms go.
Give your mom a little bump. There we go.
Let freedom ring with these bell bottoms.
Bill?
Bing bong. Bing bong.
I haven't felt like a woman in years, Bill. Thank you.
It's the 80s, bitches. Guess what? The dollar is now a micro dollar. You can now make a dollar inside a dollar. With an integrated dollar chip that makes multiple dollars come out and go up through a Reaganomic chip onto an internet. And just trust me, there's no more gold back in anything. It's just dollars. Dollar, dollar bill. Dollar, dollar bill. Meat mop.
I guess
dollar,
he has
dollar
a point.
Bill.
Yes, he does.
These bell bottoms are getting in the way of my robot dancing. Snip, snap, Velcro. Zip, zipper, zipper,
the market has spoken. He must be right.
Yes, he definitely is right.
Boop, doop, deep, doop, doobie, doop.
I like his chunky jewelry as well.
Doobie, doop. You can make cocaine out of Windex. Progress, motherfucker. But if you're black and you get caught with it, you go to prison forever.
Bill, Bill, Bill. Welcome. It's 1976. It's the country's bicentennial.
All right.
It's the bicentennial.
Oh, hey. How are you? Okay.
You've got a suit on now.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. I was in the 80s. I had done the 80s, but...
I don't know if that was clear to me because cocaine with the Windex, I think it was more late 70s.
I'm sure.
I don't think it really came mainstream. It was like when cable first came, it didn't really come. It took 10 years.
But, sweetie, he did say, this is the 80s, bitches.
Bill, you're right. I'm sorry.
I didn't ask to be born! Fireworks!
America, we're sorry.
We're sorry.
Love us, America.
I don't even know who you are. Anymore. I hate Iraq. I hate Iran. I hate Iraq more than Iran. No, I hate Iran. I hate everyone in the Middle East. I love Jews, but not the ones I live with. Just get off my fucking back.
Son, look out for those planes.
It's 9/11. Didn't cheer.
Look at how Chicago just shits on New York.
Mom, Dad.
Yes.
We heard about what happened.
Yes. We're heartsick by it.
We sent a card.
They were the tallest buildings ever. They came out of nowhere.
I know.
You're going to be okay.
Well, yes. So listen, I want to invade everybody, okay?
Honey.
Just need a little bit of help.
Honey, that's just a reaction to what's going on right now.
No, we got to fucking. We're at war.
Bill.
I think you're just lashing out, but okay, we'll support you.
Yes. You lashing out.
Yes.
But do some research before you decide where to go.
You calling me ignorant?
We just think you're just, it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. A lot of people are thinking the same way you are right
you
now.
You fuck think the same way, France? Fuck your French fries. Fuck your Muhammad Ali. I don't care, I don't have to read. You a bitch. I'm America. Fuck you. Freedom. You jealous. Y'all jealous!
When did you become...
Fuck you, check it out! Sukaboom! Shock! Ah! Boom! 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 You got a problem with this?
Honey, you are not thinking straight.
You ain't thinking straight. You want a bunker buster up your ass, bitch!
Oh, Bill!
When did you become like this?
Yes.
You're not our son anymore.
No.
Oh, it's how it's gonna be. Well, check it out. I'm gonna fucking run and cry.
I want you to think about what you've done and then try to make improvements.
I need hope and change.
My God, he's so attractive.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You look fantastic, son.
Yes. I don't have much time to talk to you. I've got a lot of drone strikes to do.
Okay.
There's been no change to the existing class system, but I'm wearing a suit. I'm very sexy.
You look fantastic.
Yes, yes, I didn't even recognize you.
Yep, it must be the 4% unemployment.
It looks good on you.
Hmm. So, I don't need anything from you. Just thought I'd come by and...
Well, again, you look fantastic.
You've
dropped a lot of cynicism.
Your father's too proud to say this.
Your father? Well, you should probably not pigeonhole him into a gender role.
Wow.
He might be my mother. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you know he's got that heart thing.
We all have a heart thing.
Well, I'm talking
about...
The
planet has a heart thing. And America has a heart thing.
Wow!
Well, I can't believe it. Well, anyways, it's, like a serious heart thing. And he needs medical coverage. And we just don't seem to, all our money is going to insurance.
So you all want money?
Or we'll die. God. Oh! What is that odor?
Oh my God. Oh no. No.
Yeah.
Oh God. Something's coming out of his stomach.
Remember me, bitch.
No. It's the 80s.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, it's unexplainable.
Oh my God.
How did the 80s spring out of that perfect man?
I don't know. It's got the head of Reagan.
We never broke up. We just took a long break, bitch.
But I thought you were going to say you were going to help us with health insurance.
Yeah, surprise, bitch. Snoop. Snoop. No more need for wit when you've got it. I'm America. It's 2016. I'm 45 years old. I guess, if you're following the... I'm going to masturbate. Oh, I have knives on my fingers. It hurts, but I won't admit it. Ow! Pretending it feels great. I'm gonna come any minute now. I'm not mangling my penis. Oh,
God, it hurts. Oh, God. Oh,
Fritz.
God, it hurts. I'm bleeding to death, but the blood is good. The blood is cum. I cum red cum. Oh, coal is important. Oh. 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 I was never racist, ever. I was never racist.
You were supposed to take care of us.
I want a divorce. Yeah! Oh, shit. I'm just going to take a... I'm going to exit this marriage. It's a Mexit.
A Mexit?
Bye-bye. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, shit. I hope one of his spies doesn't have a dossier on me getting pissed on.
Well, I'm proud I did it.
That's my right to be taken care of.
Mom, there's nothing more I can do, bitch. Maternity is a disease. Pregnancy is your fault. I won't help you not get pregnant. If you do get pregnant, it's your problem. If you have a miscarriage, you have to carry the dead baby around until you die yourself. If you lactate, I don't lactate. If you live in a trailer park, I don't understand anything about what you need. I don't understand if you're France or women.
That about sums you up.
I never expected to be here. I didn't know. I didn't want this. I didn't think this would ever happen. That's why my symbol is just a frog from a cartoon that didn't... It's everything about me is unintentional. It almost suggests outside collusion from a foreign power, but I'm going to get into that. You keep looking at me, and you're looking at me like you want me to fucking change, but I can't.
Yes, I do.
Do not listen to them, America. Keep drinking imported vodka and fucking our beautiful, beautiful prostitutes. We have some of the best prostitutes in the world. They'll pee on you.
I'm sorry. I have to go now.
All right. I guess I'll just be left alone.
I hope that you are NATO escalator. Escalator. Escalator.
Welcome to Trumpsky Tower.
Thank you.
We knew you would eventually be here when you got tired of the blacks and the Mexicans.
Oh, I hate everything that's not white.
Well, so do we. You should have seen what we did to the Chinese.
It's...
Oh, so many Chinese people. Angry. Too soon? Anyway, I don't listen to American crying.
I just got to a point where I couldn't have anything to be proud of anymore. So it got down to what I was born as.
We were watching. You had no direction. You didn't know whether you wanted oil or to save the world or to conserve or to spend.
In the end, specialness was all anyone wanted. We all want to be special. No one wants to say, I'm a part of something. That's why even the most elite, liberal, white, chic people, when not given control over their own world, will just retreat into suicidal drama.
You are talking about Dan Harmon.
Jimmy Corain.
Yes. That's it. Voted for Trump. Mm. Thank you, Scott. That's it.
In the end, I guess I failed because no small part of me wanted to just be a small part of me. It's ironic, given that the greatest part of me, John F. Kennedy, or my spleen,
once said, liver. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Also ironic that he...
Then was shot.
I was going to say that he objectified women, but he got away with it because he's better looking.
We are splitting hairs.
Right. And we have no hairs left to split.
That's right.
You and me, Pootie.
You are going to love the future. All white, beautiful. Even Africa will be white. We'll grow oranges there.
I can't wait. I love oranges. I love white people. I love white skin. Take me there now. Take me.
Ooh, you're already there.
I'm there?
Here we are, together.
But it just looks like a... like the architect's office in The Matrix Reloaded. It's just a... what do you mean? It's just a room full of TVs.
It wasn't gonna be fun.
You tricked me!
Yes!
I wanted the Earth!
Yes, but you were going to bring along rap music and high-fat foods.
But popular people made me popular!
We made you popular.
No! I gotta get out! I wanna make America great!
Ask your parents for help!
No!
And a scene. We did it. We did it.
Wow.
We solved the problems. We changed the world.
I think we revealed that we read a lot about politics.
You do. Really, it's obvious I don't.
What time is it? Is it?
We should do that show at high schools so kids learn.
Or getting close to two.
We're getting there. We can wrap it up with people like they like to come and they like to hear the rapping skills of me. You give me a thumbs up on the rapping?
Yeah,
Steve?
If you can make music.
And then when you guys leave here, you can go watch Rick and Morty. It's like running on a... maybe you'll like it. All right.
How do we do it?
There may be a couple false starts because it's been an intense show. It was an okay one. Like, my energy's lagging. I have to let me get in the flow. And then I may throw to you guys.
No.
It may take... Yeah. Go with the flow. Yo, rap what you know. Yo, go with the flow. In Chicago. Chicago. Go with the flow. It's what you know. A windy city is a city with wind. I fucked your mama until she became thin. She used to be fat and then I got in. I made her lose weight and then our life begins. I wanna fuck your mama so hard. I wanna fuck your mama in the back and front yard. I wanna take a lawnmower on her pussy. Gonna fuck your mama so hard. Okay, sorry. It's getting so misogynist. Alright. Starting over. Alright. Yo. I fucked your daddy till his dick was raw. Grabbed his dick with my south paw. Jerked it off and put it in my maw. Because your daddy's dick is just an object for me. Your daddy's a piece of shit because he's male. He's a piece of male shit. I'm here to use him. I fucked your daddy. I broke his fusing. Your daddy's a piece of shit. He's just a dick and balls on a stick. Men are dumb. They can be replaced with your thumb. Stick it in there like gum. Roll it around and have some fun. Your daddy's just a piece of garbage. Nothing ever is gonna rhyme with garbage ever. Yo. We had some fun. We had some laughs. I fucked your mama. I fucked a giraffe. It had a long neck, so I snapped it in two. I fucked your daddy and made him eat poo. He ate the poo and he said that's good. I took him outside and made him chop wood. He was an indentured servant to me. Then I made him drink my pee. He drank it. He said that's yummy.
Yeah!
There are seven kinds of urine. Yellow,
off yellow, orange, off orange, and three others.
Yo, Chicago! It's in the great state of Illinois. I fucked your mama like my name was...
Troy.
Troy. Like
Troy.
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 Troy. With a T.
Like my name was Troy. Okay, all right.
It's a very common name in Chicago, okay. Troy.
Right, okay. Yo. The I-95 freeway is a thing. You take the 43 to the 95. I fucked your mama the entire time she was alive. And I left when she was dead because I'm not a ghoul. Improv. Yo. It doesn't matter who you vote for, you're still an American. I fucked your mama so hard she turned into a pelican. Scraping the barrel. You gotta scrape that barrel. I gotta scrape that barrel when you rap. A rap, 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 rap. I fucked your mama so hard she grew 2 feet. I fucked your mama till she turned to meat. I didn't objectify her, I deified her. She was good meat. Holy meat. I looked up at her from the street and said, pray to Jesus, I love your mama. She said, look down, she said, camel, llama. I said, Osama bin Llama didn't, fuck, shit, hold on. Just, I told you needed to give me a couple chances to start. Yo.
Yeah!
Woo! Home in town.
Yeah! All right, can we end the show there? Okay.
You got this.
Yeah.
Remember, 7 types of pee, fucked your mama.
Okay. All right.
What? 7 types of pee.
We didn't end the show there, though. Okay. The next. Okay. They wanted to end the show there.
They didn't make enough fucking noise.
All right. But come out. You gotta be my hype man, and you gotta give him a mic that he can use.
No, this is perfect.
No.
You.
I just lost a ball. I just lost a ball.
All right. One more beat, and then let's. Brandon's gonna help me.
Do we have a different beat though?
Yeah,
that'd
be great.
We just have the one beat. We only have one beat. White rappers, only one beat. Come on, man. That's you.
Tell them they're not ready for me yet, though.
Y'all motherfuckers is like a cookie that could cause salmonella because it's not baked enough. You ain't ready.
Oh, face in your face and your head in a shoe. I fucked your mama so hard your pussy needed glue. Ooh. I shattered her pussy, had to be put back together because my dick is a bird of a feather. It flocks together when it goes down south. It migrates every year into your mama's mouth. I'm going to migrate my dick and my balls. I'm going to take them from there to Niagara Falls.
Niagara
go over
Falls.
In a barrel. Fuck your mom. Crate and barrel, gonna fuck your mom.
Go fuck your mom.
Well, yo,
and your mom's mom.
Yo, take it.
Going back to fuck your mom's mom. Laying that ancestral bomb. Using my dick to start your family. Looked up your family tree and an ape shitted on me. I'm calling you an ape. Look at my rhymes, Dan, they can't escape. This old ass beat make me want to rap like Steve Harvey. Family Feud.
Survey says, fuck your mama in a fez.
Survey says.
Survey says. Survey says. Survey says. Survey says. Number one, fuck your mama on the front lawn.
Number two, fuck your mom till the break of dawn.
Number three, fuck your mama till all day long.
Number four, fuck your mom till she looked like Cheech and Chong. Eyes was cloudy because she was so high. I fucked your mom until the bitch became a guy.
Number 7, fuck your mama like a shrimp.
Pretty sure that we skipped 6. I fucked your mom with both of my dicks.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you, but I fucked your mom.
All right. That's our show.
Thank you, Chicago.
Chicago, we love you. Make some noise for Dan Harmon.
Thank you for coming out.
Jimmy Carrey.
Yeah.
Scott Adams.
Go watch Rick and Morty.
Bishop of Harmontown.
Jimmy Crane. Scott Adson had to go to a different show. Spencer Creighton and everybody.
Seven types of pee. Seven types of pee. Seven types of pee.